Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Shift the Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Dwayne for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around. Tears from their eyes. Knees on the ground. Money in the sky. Take a look around. Ain't shit nice. Praying for my life. Hope I make it through the night. I take a look around.
And he drives it to center field. That's all deep. Back on Schaefer. At the wall.
Take a look around.
My goodness. An absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling at a fender, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
Take a look.
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.
Four-man run. Eli throwing into traffic on the sideline. They're going to roll it, a catch by Manningham. Along the sideline, they're going to spot the ball at the 50-yard line.
This is now first down for Tampa Bay. They needed that completion to Ben, and now they get a good run from Blunt. He won't go down. LeGarrette Blunt, what a run! One of the best of the year, LeGarrette Blunt, all the way, and he broke tackles at every step.
Here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him three to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Stiffer's going off and you ain't run. They win it on the first play of overtime.
That's not what I asked, Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Everybody, it's another beautiful Thursday night and another edition of the Southernmost Sports Wrap with your host, the Zen Man. And again, I'm going to welcome on one of my good friends, Mr. Ryan Brooks. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, my friend.
What's going on, Ryan? AKA Hootie, however you want to call it. But he was on 2 weeks ago, if you all remember. And I just want to say congratulations to my show, Southernmost Sports Wrap, at 271 listens. Which blew out my previous record by 100, pretty much. I don't know, man. People must love you, I guess.
It's all good. Everybody loves Hootie.
Everybody loves Hootie. I got to remember that now. Now you have to be on my show every time. It's a perfect, perfect combination, I guess. The Zen Man and Hootie. We'll make it work. But let's get into sports. I don't know if you've been following the Olympics. The first game wasn't really an important game, but it was the first game that the USA got to get together and play. They played against the Dominican Republic. I know Durant had 21 at halftime. The actual score, I don't know. What is the score? Do you know?
No, I just got in, but I did see that Blake Griffin injured his knee in the Olympics there already. So that's not a good thing for us as a team. Not for the team itself, but also for Blake for next season. I mean, if it's a serious knee injury, it's his left knee in the scrimmage. He's going back to the Clippers doctor to see what's going to go on with that. But, that's definitely not a good thing. You don't want to see these guys get hurt in the Olympics. I mean, for the team, the Clippers can't afford this, I mean, we'll still win the Olympics. We'll still come out with a gold medal with or without Blake. But, it's not good for the Clippers if he's injured.
Yeah, for sure. He's not the best player, but they did put in Anthony Davis, which I thought he was already going to play. But I guess he got cut, and so now he's going to play. They're actually not putting the score up online, but it's a big blowout. I know it was. They have it on. You can watch the game on ESPN or ESPN3.com. But I'll get the score with you guys in a little bit. Just more news. Just so you guys know later on in the show, there has been some talk about football. They're like 50 days away to kickoff, so I'm actually pretty excited. I know I'm a Dolphins fan. I believe you're a Jets and an Oakland fan. I don't know if that's any better than being a Dolphins fan. but at least you guys get Tebow. Hey, you guys got Tebow, which means one thing. The games that you do win will probably be very exciting. So at least you guys get a lot of news. So I have top 10 plays with a bonus 2 plays. Now, the bonus 2 plays are pretty exciting. You get a bonus 2 plays. So that's 12 plays I'm going to show you guys today. That's a record, right? I mean, I had one record with the most listens. Let me bring it back with a new record, most top plays of the day. More football news, though. Breeze still not signed with the Saints. I'm shocked. I'm really shocked that the organization would do that to him. He is arguably the best quarterback in the league. I mean, I know you want to say Aaron Rodgers is probably better, but is it? I mean, it's not. I mean, if you try to argue, it's kind of hard because Breeze just shattered the all-time single-season record last year, beating Dan Marino's all-time passing yards record for a season. I mean, he's been getting I understand that he was a risk coming in, and then he ended up being a gold mine. So it's not a surprise of why he was getting paid so little. He was getting paid, around $10 million a year, but he was putting up superb numbers. And now it's time for them to put up the money, and they're not giving the money. They were joking around on the ESPYs last night. They called Drew Brees in the stands, the host, and he was talking about why he didn't get signed. He's like, man, there's only some kind of on-field fund that they can get to afford Drew Brees. Obviously talking about the bounty. I think Jonathan Dillon was in the crowd. He was cracking up. That was pretty funny. But, yeah, I'm a little shocked that they haven't signed him yet. If I was Brees, I mean, I don't know if I would – I don't know how he's feeling. God, I mean, I don't know if he knew about the bounty hunting. He probably did, but – I mean, that's got to make him upset. Now they're not paying the money that he deserves.
Well, the fact that he testified against them is kind of, probably why they're holding up his contract. He actually went into court and testified and said, it's true. And, of course, the team is not going to, they don't like that no matter what. And just for an update, the game has 3 minutes left, and the U.S. is up 99-55 over the Dominican Republic.
All right, so it was a blow, 45 points, 44 points.
44, well, 45. Right now it's 45, 155.
Ah, see, this man knew that free throw was going in. That's all good. All right, so that's good. The football, though, training camps in a couple of weeks. It's going to be exciting. If you're down in Miami, I don't know if you can see it, but I've heard that you can go see the first day. I don't know the exact date of it, but if you find out, go check it out the first day at least. I don't know why it wouldn't be open all the other days, but I'm not 100% sure of that, so guess check it out. It was funny. I heard a couple people talk about Reggie Bush. I think one person predicted he would have over 1,500 yards this year. Now, that would be more than what the leading rusher, Maurice Jones-Drew, had last year. So I don't know if that's possible. Reggie Bush did have a breakout year, though. Had over 1,000. If he's going to get over 1,500, it's very doubtful, but I hope we win some games. We finished out the year pretty good last year, like 7 of 9 games, so it's not so bad. It's a bad record, though, overall.
Well, if they use him as an all-purpose person, if they use him for all-purpose yardage, if they use him for, kickoffs here or there, or, punt returns here or there, they use him as a receiver and as a running back, then as far as all-purpose yards go, he can get the 1,500. But if he's just running back, strictly running out of the backfield, he's not going to get 1,500.
Well, it's 1,500 rushing yards, and I disagree with the – I mean, they shouldn't – if you were just saying he needs to get 1,500, then yeah, but I think last year that's what I thought, but then they started playing him every down, and he actually did pretty good. I didn't think it was going to work, but he had a breakout. I mean, the last game of the year, he had over 200 rushing yards, so in the game, I guess the Bills, pretty exciting. So I think they should, they're going to go back to that, obviously. But, yeah, definitely he can – I mean, if you utilize him in other areas, then you need to – I don't want to say take away from his every down rushing because he was successful last year, but definitely he can be a threat. If he can be a threat that way, you know he can be a threat with little dump-off screens or something. I don't know if you want to use him as kickoffs only because it's dangerous and he has lost a step, but, you know, maybe a here and there. I mean, he can still make some moves, so – we'll see how that turns out. Just later on in the show, I talk about MLB, of course, my standing schedules and the schedule. Normally they do the All-Star game, and they had a few games on Thursday, but they're starting on Friday this year, so no games today. But I will have the upcoming schedules for the weekend. I'll go over my All-Star rosters again and talk about the All-Star game a little bit. And I'll also give you guys my predictions on the division winners and the MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year. So it should be a lot of fun. And just other top news, Ray Allen and Rashard Lewis officially signed with the Heat. And I talked to you guys. I'm going to go over the signings, all the signings that happened last week. I'm going to go over it again because it's very interesting. But Dwight Howard, not yet with a home. What do you think? I mean, the Nets are out of it. Now, I heard the Nets are out of it because they had to make a decision on Brook Lopez, who was signed, who had an offer from the Bobcats, and the Nets had to make a move and match that offer sheet, which they did, 4 years, $60 million on Brook Lopez. So that's why they're out of the running for Dwight. They can't afford him. And there's been talks about him possibly going to the Lakers and the team trade that would send Bynum to the Rockets. Rockets would send the Magic some players and some picks, and then Howard would come to the Lakers. Do you think, I mean, what are your thoughts? What do you think he's going to do? I don't know.
Well, I think the Lakers is a good fit. Bynum has been edgy. You know, they're not liking his attitude in L.A., so they'd be willing to trade him. Bynum's contract is huge. So if you're going to pay that much money, you're going to want somebody who's going to fit in and that you want. So if you're going to pay that much money, you might as well make the deal for Dwight Howard. Get him there, give Kobe that extra, you know, little thing that he needs to finish off and get another ring. You know, I think they could do it, and they will give, you know, they'll give the Heat who I think are going to be in it next year. They'll give the Heat run for their money if they have, you know, a Dwight Howard underneath instead of Bynum.
I agree. I think either way that they have a really good chance of going to the finals without him because, like I mentioned before, they're not getting – I mean, just to get Howard, they're going to get rid of Bynum, and you're getting rid of the second-best center to get the first – I mean, I know that is an improvement, but, you know, obviously Bynum's a little bit bigger than Dwight. Dwight definitely better and, yeah, better attitude and everything like that. So, you know, I don't think that they're going to be in the finals either way, but I think with Howard it might – I am a Heat fan, but I do feel the Heat are still a better team, especially with the experience now and a little, the monkey, especially the bronze. Actually, he had more like a gorilla, but either way, I think that they have a better chance with Dwight. So I would definitely fear that team for sure. But I think the Nets, talking about them, if they would have got Howard, that team would have been pretty good with Darren Williams, Joe Johnson, Dwight Howard, Jared Wallace. But now they don't get Dwight Howard, but if you think about it, they still have a very good team. They still have the three players I mentioned, and then they have Brook Lopez and Chris Humphries, the ex-husband or boyfriend or husband of Kim Kardashian. But, you know, he's actually pretty good on the court. So I think that team's still a threat. Look for them to have a huge season. Either you get rid of those two and then get Howard or you keep those two. I mean, either way, two is better than one. I think they would have been better with Howard, but they're going to have a pretty good squad. So look for Jay-Z and whoever. I can't remember the guy's name. He's got a hard name to pronounce, the owner.
Russian, I can't think of his name. Either.
But I think, in my mind, honestly, I think they're going to be the second or third team in the Eastern Conference. Do you think they're going to have a better – first of all, what do you think the 1-2-3 is going to be in the Eastern Conference?
Well, in the Eastern Conference, you can never rule the Celtics out there.
The Bulls, obviously, but, you know.
Let's see what happens with the Bulls this year. The Bulls kind of scare me, you know. How well is their all-star going to be when he comes back?
Well, Derrick Rose isn't going to play. I mean, is he going to play? I don't think he's going to play that much if he plays. He's going to come back pretty late in the season if he does
come back. They say he's ahead of schedule on his recovery, but, you know, I don't really know, you know, how well the team obviously doesn't fare well without him because they didn't do good in the playoffs without him. And Team USA's game is coming to a close right now, and the final score is 113-59. So if this is any indication of what the Olympics are going to be like, these guys are going to run away with it. But my question for you is, was Joe Johnson really worth all that they gave up? They gave up like 5 players for Joe Johnson. That's just insane. I mean, they're mediocre players, but really, you know, 5 players for one.
He is. I don't know what they traded, to be honest with you.
They gave up Anthony Moran. They gave up Jordan Williams, Jordan Farmore, Johan Petro, and Deshaun Stevenson. So they gave up, you know, 5 players technically for Joe Johnson.
Yeah, but, you know, what they were doing was what the Heat were doing 2 years ago. That was getting rid of players to create space. And I think they were doing that. You know, they felt even. I mean, I'm sure they spent a little bit more to get that one player because Joe Johnson had a max deal of 20-something million a year. But,
well, his deal, you know, they had $90 million left on 3 seasons was what they had to pay out his contract for. So $90 million. So they had to give up 5 players for that $90 million contract. That's crazy. But you know what? They made the space. They got him. They were able to, you know, re-sign DeRon Williams. You know,
well,
they don't
can't
afford Dwight Howard at this point.
Well, no, because of Brook Lopez. But I think maybe they were doing something like the Heat were doing. You know, all these players are coming to play for the Heat now, good players that are signing for less money. You know, if they make their team attractive enough, maybe they get a couple of those players, and it's better than the players they had. I mean, I don't care if you have 30 players. If there's nobody that's going to do anything all year, then, you know, I mean, you got to make big moves. They're taking risks. They're doing it. I mean, they're doing something. So you got to do something against the Heat. So they were trying to make some big moves. I mean, it's not like everybody's available. Maybe he was the only shooting guard available. So, I mean, he's good. He's really good. So,
I mean, the Knicks tried to make some moves, but their moves confused me totally. I'm lost with what the Knicks did. I mean, they got Marcus Camby, who's 38 years old. They got Jason Kidd. You know, they may keep Lynn if they got 3 days to offer Lynn something. And they gave up, you know, for Camby, they gave up Tony Douglas and 2 centers, Josh Harrison and Jerome Jordan, and they gave up a second-round pick. They gave up 4 players, basically, for Marcus Camby, who's 38 years old. I mean, it may be what they need, you know. I don't know. I just that move just kind of threw me off. I'm like, wow, Jason Kidd, Marcus Camby. You know, you keep Jeremy Lin. That's good. It's young. You got these older players, you know. But they gave up a lot just to get Marcus Camby back, and I thought that was like a little much for Marcus Camby, who's already pushing 40.
Yeah, he's still a great rebounder, though. But we'll see. I it's hard for me to get in the mind of these owners. But speaking of Lynn, not really sure where he's going. He looks like he might be a Rocket. I just got another offer sheet kind of going on here. The Rockets. I'm not sure. I don't think they matched it just yet. I believe Red was 11th. That the Rockets put the deal out there. It was a 4 years, $32 million or something like that. And the Knicks had 3 years to match it, I believe. So wait a couple of days, and we'll probably figure out where Jeremy Lin's going. Jeremy Lin did win an ESPY last night, though. Best breakthrough athlete, I believe it was. So good for him. If I had the vote, I would have gone for the Gronk.
Now, how much did Ray Allen get? How much did Ray Allen get for coming to the Heat?
It was 2 years.
He got the same deal as Jason Kidd.
No. It was
9 mil.
It was 3 years, 9 mil. 3 years, 9 mil. He had been offered 2 years, 12 mil by the Celtics. So he went for half the money to play for the Heat. $6 million a year for to three, which, I mean, he just wants to win a champ, whatever. I mean, I don't know. As for Rashard Lewis, what is he getting paid now, like $1.5 million or something a year? And he looked 3 years ago, and he was getting paid close to $20 million with the Magic a year, Rashard Lewis. So these guys just want a chip, man. What do you want? Grant Hill's out there now looking for a team. His possible choices were the Heat, Thunder, and the Lakers, I believe. The guys are just desperation, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? I could see OKC picking up Grant Hill and just keeping him on the benches, you know, just that person to throw in who's, you know, he's older. He knows what he's doing. He's not, you know, hot-headed. He's not one of these young kids. He's got the experience, and when it comes playoff time, he'll be clutch.
Yeah, for sure, man. I think so. So look at the players. If you forget, Gary Payton was on the 06-8 team. But Antoine Walker, Alonzo Mourning, those guys were there just to help out. And Gary Payton came up big in game three with a big bucket to tie the game up after we were down about 12 points with about 2 or 3 minutes left. So those guys come in and just, you know, I mean, the Thunder definitely could use a couple guys like that on the bench with, you know, Durant and Westbrook being 23 years old, Harden not much older. So they definitely need that for sure.
Yeah.
So let's move on really quickly. And let's just quickly go over the All-Star, not the All-Star, the Olympic team for the NBA. Here's the roster that they have online. You know, I know the main people that are on there, but you have Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, which he's not going to, I don't think he's going to be on the team. Man, these unreliable sources give me in trouble. Is this the right? Yeah, I'm so unprepared. But let me see. Actual roster. I don't think Chris Bosh is on the team, though.
I don't think he is either. I didn't see him on the roster that I saw.
All right, well, I'm going to get... Actually, you know what? Let me see. All right. Well, I have the starters. The starters of the team are Carmelo, LeBron, CP3, Kobe, and Tyson Chandler. And Kevin Love was the other center. Wow, I had – well, all right, here's the unofficial roster that was up. That's apparently all I have. But I'm going to scratch Chris Bosh because he's – I mean, I guess he was – in. These are all the people that were definitely, like, invited, I guess, agreed. But there's injuries. I was Carmelo Anthony, Chris Bosh, Kobe Bryant, Tyson Chandler, Anthony Davis, who actually got cut and is now back on the team because of an injury to Blake Griffin, who got injured today, Kevin Durant, Rudy Gay, Eric Gordon, who ended up being cut, Blake Griffin, like I said, got injured, James Harden, Andre Iguodala, LeBron James, Kevin Love, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook, and Deron Williams, and, of course, Coach K. I say Coach K, that. Man, it's hard. How do you pronounce Coach K's name? Krzyzewski.
Krzyzewski, yes.
Krzyzewski, yeah, I think it's like that. So those are your Olympic team. They murdered Dominican Republic. I think that they're – well, more news really quick. I think they're going to – I think, like I said earlier, they're going to go – I think it'll be fine. I don't see anybody beating them. I heard that the women's team, they're searching their fifth straight gold medal. So just goes to show you, I mean, with so much talent here – I don't see another team really giving us a shot. But I know you heard Kobe Bryant say 2 days ago, I believe, 3 days ago, that that this year's Olympic team could be the dream team. Two dream team members spoke out, Charles Barkley saying that only three of the members of this year's team would make the dream team. Now I'm assuming that's Kobe, Durant, and LeBron. And Michael Jordan just basically laughed, saying that there's no way they could beat him. I mean, I would ask for your opinion, but what else could your opinion be other than the Dream Team was just by far the best team of all time?
I like the way Jordan put it, though. He said for him to compare these two teams is not one of the smartest things he could have ever done. I mean, Jordan knows, and Kobe should know because Kobe is a study of the game. I mean, for him to just put that out there, he's just expecting, you know, to hype this up for this year Now, they better not lose one game, because if they do, it's all going to backfire on him, you know. You know, to throw something out there like that, come on. He's like,
yeah.
Kobe said they were not athletic. I mean, how really? How are you going to say that the Dream Team back then, I mean, Jordan and them, were not athletic when they were playing then? I mean, maybe today they're not athletic, but back then they were beyond athletic. I mean, this is
what Kobe said. Well, two thoughts. Kobe said, he did say, I actually saw the interview today. He seemed comical about it. He just said, they gave him a shot because they were younger, more athletic. So I don't know. But my thoughts, I thought about it earlier, and I was just thinking, back then they didn't have as many international players as they do now. And when the international players are in the league and they're good, they don't play for USA. They play for other teams that go against us. So that's my thought. I don't know if that really has anything to factor, but no question that that team is much better.
Well, I mean, yeah, that is true. The Dream Team didn't have the quality of players playing against them that you have now. So the Dream Team just ran over everybody, but still, I mean.
Well, just the NBA teams were filled up with just Americans, which is a bigger pool to select. I mean, I don't know. I think that has a little bit to do with it. There's so many international players now that won't play
USA,
so.
Yeah, I mean, you got Steve Nash and them playing. You know, Steve Nash plays for what? He plays for Canada. You know, all these guys play for other places right now, you know, for where they're from. You know, Dirk plays. He doesn't play for the U.S. So all you have all these players that are in the NBA right now who are popular and are great playing for their home country, which, you know, gives us a harder time as a country to beat these other teams. You know, the Dream Team didn't have that, but still, there's no doubt that they were the athletic team. You know, they were the best out there. And I think they would destroy. I don't know. LeBron and Kobe and Chris Paul, you know, those are some great players, you know. But I think those guys back in the day. Wasn't Charles Barkley on the Dream Team, the original Dream Team?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Charles Barkley. You can't argue with Charles Barkley, yeah. Never argue with Charles Barkley. That's man.
Nah, they try to do it on TNT, but it really doesn't work out.
Exactly.
But here's the roster for the Dream Team, just to give you guys a thought about it. It was, I'm just going down the list. Christian Laettner, okay, maybe he wasn't the greatest. David Robinson, Patrick Ewing, Larry Bird, Scottie Pippen, Michael Jordan, Clyde Drexler, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Chris Mullin, Charles Barkley, and Magic Johnson. Do you know how many rings are just in that collective group?
That's like ridiculous.
They won, first game, June 28th, 1992, they won by 79 points versus Cuba. Game two, they played Canada, won by 44. Game three, they played Panama, won by 60. Game four, July 1st, they beat Argentina by 41. They played Puerto Rico, had a bad game. They only won by 38 points. And then, slacking. And then they won by 47 against Venezuela. It was an average of 51 points per game, I believe. So, yeah. You tell me. if this year's Dream Team could do that, then I consider it.
Well, they started off really good in the preliminaries here.
That's true. They did put it up today. So they're averaging more right now. So we'll see if they can keep it up. I don't know. But
D'Antoni won't call timeout and let the Raptors set up their D. The crowd on its feet here at the Air Canada Center. Lynn puts it up. Bang! Jeremy Lynn from downtown, and the Knicks take.
Let's kick it off. My stat of the week. I'm going to change it up a little bit. I was thinking in my head, man, what's a lame stat? How about we just bring out the ESPY Award winners? to substitute my stat of the week. I don't know if you watched ESPY last night, but it was pretty funny.
I didn't get a chance. I missed it.
What's the guy? I don't even know what the guy's name is, but if you watched Step Brothers, the guy, his brothers, that guy that was in his office, he's like, pop out, like the big guy. I don't know. He's just really weird. He's like at the end at the Kelly and Y mixer, he's all, he's talking to me, you need to change your face. He's just really, he's a really funny guy. So he did it. He was joking on everybody. He was joking about Anthony Davis's unibrow. He made a joke that looks like Mr. Potato Head's angry eyebrows. He's like, you need to be happy, yo. You're first pick in the draft. And then he said six players from Kentucky were in the draft. So the six players and 11 eyebrows. It was pretty funny though. I like how they joke about literally everything. But here are your winners: the NFL Player of the Year, Aaron Rodgers; the MLB Player of the Year, Josh Hamilton; NHL Player of the Year, Jonathan Quick, goalie for the Kings, who won the Stanley Cup. No question about that. Driver of the Year, Tony.
They had Tebow give Jeremy Lin the award for the breakthrough player. Oh, Tebow was out there a lot, wasn't he?
Did they? He may have actually. I don't know. Tebow was out there a few times. The guy who was the host, he actually went to Kansas when he was growing up, and he had to say congratulations to the Kentucky Wildcats, and he didn't want to do it, so he had Tim Tebow come out and do it for him, and Tim Tebow was, you know, all really nice and sweet. Like, God bless. You guys had a fantastic season. You're going to remember this for the rest of your life. Very sweet. So, yeah, Tebow made a few appearances. Why not?
I guess it's the New York thing. I mean, the ESPYs are held in New York, and Tebow is the hottest thing in New York right now. So,
you know what I'm saying? Driver of the Year, Tony Stewart. WNBA Player of the Year, Diana Taurasi. Fighter of the Year, Floyd Mayweather. Male golfer, Bubba Watson. Female golfer, Christy Kerr. Male tennis player, Novak Djokovic. Female tennis player, Maria Sharapova. Male college athlete, Robert Griffin III. Male action sport athlete, Shaun White. Female action sports athlete, Jamie Anderson. Apparently she's a snowboarder. Jockey, Mario Gutierrez. Male athlete with a disability was Kyle Maynard for climbing. Female athlete with disability, Jessica Long for swimming. College athletic program, Stanford Women's Athletic and Men's Florida Athletics. Bowler was Sean Rash. MLS player was David Beckham. And track and field was Walter Dix. Those are your ESPY winners. If it comes on again, watch it. It was pretty funny. I actually have more. Breakthrough Athlete of the Year with Jeremy Lin. Record-breaking Performance of the Year with Saints quarterback Drew Brees for breaking Marino's record of 5,084 with 5,476 passing yards. Biggest upset was the Los Angeles Kings, who was an eighth seed and won 4 series to win the Stanley Cup. Game of the Year, which this one actually upset me. It was the Niners beating the Saints, 36-32, in one of the playoff games last year, and one of the ones that could have won was the Cardinals in the World Series. It was a game where David Freese, with one out to go, one strike to go, for the Rangers to win everything, he hit a 2-run home run to tie it, and then ended up, and when he came back up to the plate again in the 12th and 13th inning, he walked off. And then ended up winning the next few games, and he ended up being the MVP of the NLCS and the World Series. That game was just tremendous, but I guess this game was better. I don't know. Best moment, Tim Tebow's 80-yard touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas. I can agree with that. I was watching that game, Buffalo Wild Wings. I know I remember every Tebow moment, but Coach Manager of the Year, Tom Coughlin of the Giants. Best comeback, Detroit Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford, who came back from off-season shoulder injury, and he went over 5,000 yards. And best international athlete was Lionel Messi. He plays for Barcelona.
and Argentina. So those are your winners of the ESPYs. It's pretty good, pretty good. I watch the Oscars and the Emmys. I like watching the ESPYs.
What I find funny is that, you know, the fan favorite always, the MLS Player of the Year, Beckham. I mean, really?
Yeah.
That's like a no-brainer right there. I mean, did he really do that good? Who knows? I mean, who cares? Because he's going to be the best player until he retires, pretty much, in the MLS, you know?
But there were more awards that are kind of just jumbled up in this paragraph. I didn't mention LeBron James actually took home 3 ESPYs. He won the best male athlete, best NBA player, best championship performance, and then the Heat won the best championship team. And I know there's a few other ones. Brittany Griner was honored as a female college athlete of the year. There was a few other ones. Jimmy V Award went to Eric LeGrand. Touching story from him. 2 years ago, he was just playing college football. He got knocked to the ground, ended up paralyzing himself pretty much. He's been in a wheelchair since, trying to get back and walk again. So that was pretty touching. Let's see. Last one. Best play went to Christian Wofford for the Indiana Hoosiers for their buzzer-beating shot to stun number one Kentucky. The win, 73-52. So that's your SB update. But definitely watch it. All right, I got a few last things to talk about. I always plan to do my MLB and then just do the top plays at the end. But I get so excited, man. Do you care if we get into my top 10 plays now?
If you want to, you can get into them. It's all on you.
All right.
Let them roll.
But just so you know, I have my top 10, but then I actually have a top 2 after my top 10. So if you're happy with your number one play, don't be upset. Don't be too happy because I got 2 more plays after that. All right, so here is my top 10 from last year.
Of the season. And with that, I'm going to kick it off, and I'll let Devin Hester bring you my 10th best play of the season.
What a punt by Malone. All the way back to the 18. But another good return by Hester. Crossing the 40, and again it's Malone who had a hand on him, couldn't get him out of bounds, and Hester will kick it to distance.
Just one of many return touchdowns for Devin Hester. He did break the career punt return touchdowns total this year. And he still got a lot of life in him, so who knows what that record might turn into in a couple of years. But that was the 10th best play. It was Devin Hester and his punt return for a touchdown. Just a great, great play. And, you know, I could have put in all of them up there, but that was just the best, I think the best one he had. I think he came into that game questionable. As, you know, a lot of players have been kind of questionable all year, but they've been playing. And I thought he had an ankle injury that game, and he still managed to, you know, to run past everybody. I just don't know how he does it. But here is my 9th best play of the season, brought to you by Torrey Smith, Joe Flacco, and the Baltimore Ravens.
Smith wide right, Reed wide left. Flacco, again, protected well. To the end zone, he goes, and it's caught for the touchdown by Torrey Smith. And there's a flag down at the 2-yard line. With defensive interference, that will hold up, and with 8 seconds left, the Ravens will conclude a 92-yard drive with a touchdown.
That was a huge, huge play. I mean, that won the game for them. And that was the game, the second game they won against Pittsburgh, which gives them a tiebreaker. So very likely, just with 2 games left, I mean, obviously it's very possible they could tie them. So if that happens, they have the first they have the tiebreaker, and they will, you know, it's the difference between probably the second or first seed in the wild card. So it's, you know, between the second seed or fifth seed, which is going to make a big difference in the second round if the wild card team, whether it be Pittsburgh or the Ravens, advance, you know. Well, actually, we'll know, and it'll be the first round because the division winners play at home no matter what. And chances are whoever gets that fifth seed, whether it be the Ravens or the Steelers, they're going to have a much better record than the fourth seed, which will probably be the Denver Broncos. And they're going to have no choice but to play on the road. So it's definitely – and obviously the next other team gets a first round bye. So it's – I know it's a lot to talk about, but that one play changed all of it. So that was the ninth best play of the NFL season, brought to you by the Zen Man. And here is number eight. This is brought to you by Cam Newton and his first touchdown of his NFL career.
On the third down, here comes the blitz. Newton puts it up. He's got a man, and he completes it. Steve Smith is going all the way. Touchdown, Carolina. 77 yards. Cam Newton's first touchdown pass of the NFL.
Yep, that was Cam Newton's first touchdown, and it was just history from there. Him and Steve Smith have been on point all year. It's amazing how you can get that much chemistry in such little time. It's amazing how fast he's growing, and he's got, you know, a solid 15 more years to grow, and who knows what he can turn into. So I just thought it was really great. Here's my number seven play. This is an 80-yard touchdown for the Houston Texans. Kind of sums up their season. As of late, it's kind of been a little shaky, but it's really, you know, it's not really bad play. I mean, it's bad play, but it's also bad just happenings to them with, you know, their first two quarterbacks being injured. Obviously, Matt Schaub with a big injury. But even Matt Leinart obviously was good enough, I think, to save their season and still keep, you know, they have a very all-around team. But now they turn to T.J. Yates, and they're still a good team, but it's tough to say. They haven't been playing great lately, but they still have had a great year, first playoff appearance, and I think this is the best play they had all year.
20. Schaub rolling right. Schaub throwing, has a wide open Jacoby Jones, and he has a lot of room. Jacoby Jones goes all the way on the first play of the game.
Yep, first play. It was against, I believe it was against the Bucks. You know, the Bucks have had a horrible season, but still a great play. Jacoby Jones had to fill in with the injuries of Andre Johnson all year. And it's good to see the supporting cast really picking it up for the Houston Texans. Matt Schaub was the quarterback then, but he is no longer because of the injury. And hopefully he can come back next season if, you know, I think that the Texans are one of the upcoming teams. But here is my number six play, and I'm proud to announce it is from the Miami Dolphins. It was last week, as a matter of fact. It's this play kind of represents the play itself and just the game he had, period. And here it is, Reggie Bush.
Play is the fullback, and Reggie Bush with a big hole, hurdling it up, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins. Reggie Bush streaking 76 yards.
Great blocking up front. Look at Richie Incognito,
yes, sir,
with a break, and then forcing Jarius Bird to miss on the back end. Reggie Bush, it's the kind of running we saw.
Play is with a high.
And that was play number six. And that was Reggie Bush. 203 rushing yards. That's the fourth player to do that this year. And for a guy that has been there, I mean, it's, you know, there's opinions on everybody, but obviously it's fair opinions that he may not be big enough to be an every down back, which the Dolphins have. That's it for the show. I'm going to leave you now. I promise you guys my top 10 plays. I gave you the bottom five. And here is my top five plays. And this is a guy that's kind of got my attention this year. Victor Cruz. Here it is.
Manning on third and two. And the pass is caught for a first down. And Victor Cruz breaks free into Eagles territory. And he's still going. Victor Cruz is in for the touchdown. 74 yards.
that play was epic on so many levels. He basically cut across, he caught the ball. A guy was, the defender was behind him trying to tackle him, and a defender was in front of him trying to tackle him. They both dove. If he would have stayed there, he would have sandwiched, but he decided to do a little stutter step to the right, and the defenders hit each other, fell to the ground, and he just ran in and did his signature salsa touchdown dance. And here is my fourth best play of the NFL season. And it is brought to you by the first game of the NFL season, and it was Wes Welker. Check it out.
And that right there. And that's a head scratcher from that close, from a half yard out.
Low percentage throw as well, Mike. And Henny's got to give his receiver a chance.
There's Brady out of the gun from the half yard line. Why not? To Wes Welker. Wes Welker pulling away, and he ties an NFL record with a 99 yard touchdown.
Oh, my.
How many guys throw it out of their end zone in an empty backfield?
As Don Meredith said when Tony Dorsett did it, 99 yards and a half.
I hate to put a... Yeah, that was the first game for the Dolphins. And
wow.
You know at a certain point of the game, the nail is firmly hit on the coffin, and that was it. And here is a play I had played for you earlier, but it's worth showing twice. And this is at least the third best play. This is the Zen Man's third best play of the NFL season so far. Here it is.
As a quarterback in the NFL where he's actually played in the game and thrown a pass. Donald Brown breaking free initially. And Brown off to the races. Donald Brown down the sideline. He's gone. Touchdown, Indianapolis.
No flag. Put it on the board.
Still a great play. Just, you know, all love for the Colts. Glad they won a game. It's very embarrassing to go 0-16. Detroit Lions. Yeah, the Detroit Lions did that a few years ago. And saw people coming into the stands with bags on their heads. Not good. But here is my number two play. Take it away, Matt Prater.
On the left hash. Matt Prater from 51 yards out for the win. The kick is good.
If I thought anybody was going to listen for a solid 45 minutes, I would have just put the entire ending to that game on there, but that just kind of sums it up for you. And a big win against the Bears 2 weeks ago. And this play was amazing. It is my number one play of the NFL season. It's a guy from Arizona, Patrick Peterson. And just listen up, and this is a tremendous play to win the game.
Good high kick. Peterson looks around. Backpedals, takes it at the two. Trying to get outside. Turns it upfield. Patrick Peterson gets by the punter. Peterson may go all the way. He will. Patrick Peterson wins it for the Cardinals. The incredible rookie, Patrick Peterson, with his third punt return for a touchdown this season. That one, 99 yards.
All right. Hope you guys enjoyed my top 10 plays. Ryan, you still there?
Yep, I'm still here.
All right. Well, I said I had a bonus two. I actually have a bonus three. You know, these are actually three better plays than I had up there. They kind of happened after I did the segment, and I think they're noteworthy. Two actually happened in the playoffs, so the top 10 was all in the regular season. I have three more plays, and I'm going to rank them in order. If, just pretend like that was the top 13. And number three, I guess, would be in the Super Bowl, the tremendous pass from Eli Manning to Mario Manningham, which helped win that game, and here it is.
Four-man run. Eli throwing into
traffic on the sideline. They're going to rule it a catch by Manningham. Along the sideline, they're going to spot the ball at the 50-yard line.
This is absolutely brilliant. If he makes this play, let's watch his feet. Clean catch. I think he got him.
Yeah, that was just another crazy catch. I'm sure you've all seen it. Eli just does magic in the Super Bowl, in the playoffs, really. It's amazing. Here is number two. I wanted to go number one with this one, but I think I had to give a certain someone a special number one spot. So without further ado, here's my number two play. And like I said, it could be number one, just with the craziness of it, but yeah, here it is.
Wide open, and a swift into the end zone by Jerome Simpson. Oh, goodness.
I didn't want anybody, what was your, I mean, if you remember season anywhere, I mean, you saw that. You saw the Jerome Simpson, right?
Yes, I did.
Pretty much one of the
best players I've seen. Yeah, I mean, and what, you know, what it makes, you know, what it meant for the team and everything. That's what makes a play, you know, that important. I mean, there's a lot of phenomenal plays, but when you're losing and a play like that happens, it's not even all that important. You just like watch it and say, whatever. You know, but when it really means something to your season, you know, tight work.
True. Yeah. Well, that was my number one play of the regular season. But if you count the season and the playoffs, this is your official, yeah, I didn't say unofficial, still number one play of the entire season, including the playoffs. Here it is.
And here we go. First snap of the overtime. The Broncos have been in three overtime games this year. They won them all. Got him at the 40. It's Thomas at the 50. Stiffer got him three to the 30. To the 20. Thomas to the 10. Stiffer's going off in New England. They win it on the first play of overtime.
I had to throw a jet. I mean, he's a Jet now, but that was when he was for the Broncos. Tim Tebow doing his magic.
Tim Tebow.
The improbable Broncos, man. I don't think it's going to be as exciting now. And
we'll see what happens. You know, I'm liking him there because we're going to use him for everything. He's on my team, so I'm really happy. And we can use him for everything. We can use him for kick holder. We use him for everything. So hopefully, you know, he just brings, you know, that wildcat to the New York Jets. You know, but before we get out of here, let's get back to baseball and what's coming up for this week on Friday. And
that's not what I asked,
you know,
Troy.
Isn't it?
No.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And the Stanton thing, I mean, that's just, like, killing me. I mean, you guys are, like, done with Stanton right now, you know, for the
season. Killing you? Yo, it's killing me. I was so stoked to watch him play because he was going to be the favorite to win that home run derby, and you know it.
I mean, I know.
He was going to hit some bombs. And I mean, I know you saw some bombs, but he was going to hit. I predicted over 500 for at least one. I mean, it's happened before. He has a power, man. Getting frustrated, but yeah, it is what it is. The one thing that really upset me was that they didn't replace a Marlin with a Marlin. Like he was the only representative. But it's not like we didn't have anybody else to go. Like, all right, so Handy Ramirez, Jose Reyes, Josh Johnson, like those aren't quality guys. Like they're not good enough to be in the All-Star game. You know, that really upset me.
Yeah, they could have replaced him with another Marlin for, you know, just have the Marlins represented in the All-Star game. That would have been the way I would have done it.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not? I mean, that's the whole point of doing this, so everybody feels a part of the game, and just didn't feel a part of it, man.
Maybe that'll spark the Marlins or something. Maybe it'll be a good thing. But let's really quickly get into my upcoming schedules for the weekend. Starting tomorrow, Friday's games. You have the unimportant Cubs home series against the D-backs. If you are into playoff baseball, do not watch that series. It'll be a good series. Yankees hosting the Angels. I like the Angels. I like them. I don't know. The Yankees are pretty hot. This will be another good series. Orioles hosting the Tigers, two top good teams. Tigers need to come back in the second half. They're a first-place team, but they're not playing like it. Orioles a surprise team. Blue Jays hosting the Indians. Not looking forward to that. Rays hosting the Red Sox. That should be fun. Any team, you know, they still have a good shot to catch
the Yankees. But now you got you were talking about the Blue Jays. I mean, they just signed somebody, didn't they?
Well, they already had Edwin Encarnacion.
Oh, they signed Encarnacion.
Yeah, he's having a great year. He's like top five in RBIs and home runs.
They just signed him to $27 million for 3 years. I mean, hopefully he comes up and, you know, gives them something, you know. Blue Jays need something right now. They're the bottom of the American League East, so they need something. So hopefully
they have him and Bautista. For any teammates, they probably have the most home runs combined. I'm surprised that they're – I mean, not surprised because of the division that they're in, but – yeah, I don't know, man. They need to get Roy Halladay back or something. But in the same division, Rays, Red Sox, that should be fun as always. I like the Rays' chances in that one. Rays are a better team and they're at home. Reds hosting the Cardinals in a central matchup right there. I think they're all division matchups, which should be a lot of fun. Yankees, Angels wasn't a division matchup, but as you know, a lot of divisions have five teams, so you can't have all of it. But that should be a good series either way. Reds, Cardinals, Pirates currently leading that division. I'll get in that in a second. The surprising Pirates. Marlins hosting the Nats. I'm excited about this one. Nationals. And the funny part about this one is that the Nationals are the best team in the division. We're trying to take them over. And like I said, the Marlins might be antsy, wanting to get some, you know, maybe a little angry from not having a representative in the All-Star game. And you know who took Stanton's spot was Bryce Harper. Just throwing that out there. Might be a little chip on their shoulder. I'll call it a sweep. Starting out with Josh Johnson. So we'll see. I know it's a great prediction, man.
Here's my question to you about the Nationals here. You know, they've got a 4-game lead in their division. They've got this 160-inning limit on Strasburg. If I was the manager of the Nationals, I would take Strasburg out now. He's got 100 innings pitched. He's got 60 innings left, according to this contract. You know, this thing of with his surgery, Tommy John surgery. He's got 60 innings left. You're 4 games up. You take him out right now. You sit him. And you keep him warming up so his arm is fresh, and then you put him in at the end of the season because he's got 60 innings left. Yeah, don't let him pitch the next 60 innings and then take him out when you get into the playoffs. That just doesn't make sense. But that seems what like they're going to do. They're just going to pitch him for the next 60 innings and be like, all right, you're done. Sit down and we're going to go to the playoffs without our best pitcher.
There's a lot of things that you could do in baseball that would make sense, but it's never going to happen. That would make sense. Obviously, you have to limit him to that innings because he's 20-something, and he's already had Tommy John surgery, so you already know the risks involved.
Yeah, Tommy John surgery in his second season in the MLB. So,
but,
I mean, you know what? Just go with it.
No, I understand that, but no, what you're saying, look, what you're saying, I know that makes sense, but as a owner, if you take him out now, and now just remember this, I don't know what year it was. It was about 3 years ago when the Nats had Chad Cordero, I believe it was their closer. They had a great season, 9 games up or something, and they were just total garbage the second half. If they do the same thing right now and the same thing happens, what's going to happen? They're screwed. I mean, then it's going to look really bad. They're going to throw men when it's unimportant. What they should do
if you get to the playoffs
him.
And you can't win in the playoffs, it doesn't matter. doesn't matter.
All right, I think
unless you're willing to break the contract. If you're willing to break the contract and have him pitch in the playoffs, then just pitch him all the way through. But you only got 60 innings left out of this guy. 60 innings, and if he pitches 10 games between now and the end of the season, that's 60 innings.
Well, here's what's going to happen. They're going to pitch him. I know. Even if they pitch him limited innings limited innings, I mean, he won't throw another complete game. He won't throw eight innings. He's going to throw about five innings.
You move him to a middle closer. So you start somebody else. When they get in trouble, you put him in for an inning or two here or there. So he's still pitching and keeping his arm fresh. You put him in as a middle closer. So you can still get an inning here or there. And you save him for the end of the year. Period, paragraph.
No, because...
no other way to do it.
No, but... you can't just start putting people in different positions. I know it seems like it's easy just to put them in the bullpen, but it really is such a difference, and you don't want to throw them off. Look, the fact is that it's one season. It's one season. It's one season. I mean, next year it'll be different. He'll have a higher innings count. He's going to be in the Nationals for the next 20 years.
He's going to have the same 160 count next year because of the surgery.
I don't think so.
They're not going to change the number because it's another year. The number stays the same no matter what. If you had the Tommy John surgery, that is what's recommended, is that you pitch, 160 innings. Period.
It's not every year, though. It'll be the first few years while he's still in some sort of rehab and he's still, gaining muscle back. I mean, he's back, but, push it over the limit, which a lot of these pitchers do. I mean, yeah, he's not going to be able to do that maybe next year, but
you put him as a middle reliever right now. He pitches an inning or two here or there, so his arm is still fresh. It's still throwing. He's not burning up his 160, innings. And you do it like that. I mean, it's not going to be a problem for him. You're saying that, to go from a starter to a middle reliever is going to be a problem. No, you're still throwing the ball. You throw the ball to the people at the plate every time you come up, onto the mound. It doesn't matter. Whether you did it at the first pitch or you did it at the 170th pitch, you're still doing the same thing. You're throwing the ball over the plate. It should make a difference. Yeah, mentally it makes a difference because, I was a starter and now I'm not a starter. But you know what? You had Tommy John surgery, and this is what's going to take to get us to the playoffs and get us through the playoffs.
They should do that. They should, even if he's at the limit, if he does get the limit in the playoffs for sure, I think they should do that because they're going to need him.
If you want to keep to the limit, you don't want him to pitch over the limit, then you move him to a middle reliever. So he still pitches right now an inning or two here or there as a middle reliever.
I know you said it. I mean, that's your opinion, and that's cool. I mean, it makes sense. I don't think they're going to do it. It would seem far-fetched. I know it doesn't seem far-fetched, but just, watching teams make the decisions throughout the years, they're not going to do that. But I think it does bring up they're probably just going to pitch in limited innings as a starter. It's probably what they're going to do, probably five or six innings. If, say he pitches a couple innings and they start blowing out a team, they'll probably yank it. They got to be careful. They're obviously going to be smart about it. But if he does end up sitting down at his limit and he can't pitch the rest of the month or 2 months to the playoffs, you'll see him probably pitch in the playoffs because they're that close. They know in their head he just had 2 months off. He's not going to start, but he'll definitely get some innings, a few here and there. I mean, you only got to win two series to be in the World Series and then have a chance to win it. They're obviously not going to sit there and put him on the bench then. But we'll see. We'll see what he does. I'll give props to you if they end up doing it. But, it makes sense what you're saying. They're still throwing pitches. Utilize him. Pinpoint him in certain innings that make more sense than just throw him out there for five or six innings every start. So we'll see what they do. But here's another this Braves-Mets. It'll be in Atlanta. Both are struggling Mitch should be the winner in that series. Royals hosting the White Sox. White Sox looking to – you know, the interesting about the White Sox, and Adam Dunn, the only player not to get not to play in the All-Star game. I don't understand. Everybody in the NL played. Adam Dunn, after his tremendous season already, he didn't get any playing time. No at-bats, nothing. So I don't get that. Even with a run deficit in the ninth, he didn't get a get an at-bat. So maybe that'll light a fire under him. He's already got a, he's already playing extremely great baseball. So we'll see if the White Sox make a move and play better. They got Kevin Youkilis. So I think they'll be a surprise team. Twins hosting the Athletics. Two garbage teams. Brewers hosting the Pirates. Be interesting to see that team. Another NL Central matchup. Pirates, see if they can hold on and win that division. Rockies hosting the Phillies. I like the Phillies with that ballpark and Ryan Howard back, Chase Utley back. Maybe that'd be a breakthrough place to be, hit some home runs.
What do you think about Ryan Howard really being back? You know, he's been up eight times. He's only had two hits. What do you really think about him being back at this point? You know, is he?
He'll be fine. He'll be fine. He'll be rested. It'll take him maybe a week or two to get back on his feet and to get in the swing. But they're going to give him every at bat that he wants, and he'll be back. This is his first game. You know, he'll be fine. Look for him to have a big second half. I think the Phillies. It will depend on the Nationals. Yeah, I don't care how everybody does in the NL East. If the Nats continue winning, they'll win the division. But if the Nats slip up, it's anybody's game. We'll see who decides to step up and play better baseball. Mets are playing the second best so far, but Marlins and the Phillies definitely have a lot of potential. So I think he'll be fine. I'll be fine. And we'll see if they re-sign Hamels. So that team, if they make the right decisions and do what they're supposed to, I think they'll be fine. So, yeah, Phillies at Rockies. Dodgers hosting the Padres. Dodgers, actually not the best team in the NL East. NL West, excuse me. They've been the best team all year, but the Giants just overcame them. But not a surprise. Bad fortunes for them. They were without Andre Ethier and Matt Kemp for a good part of the first half due to injuries. But they should be getting him back soon. Definitely Matt Kemp will be back pretty soon. He did participate in the home run derby. He, I believe, did not hit. He had one home run, I believe. Looking at Mariners hosting the Rangers. Rangers, probably the best team in the AL. Should be an easy series for them. And Giants hosting the Astros. I like the Giants in that series. So those are your upcoming series. Just really quickly, what do you think about the home run derby? Like I said, Giancarlo didn't get to play. Just a couple news and notes on that. Obviously, Prince Fielder winning pretty easily, actually. He looked pretty slip out there. And look at the captains combining for one home run in the whole derby, Matt Kemp and Robinson Cano. Not very good. I don't know how do you – it's amazing to see these guys hit so many home runs and they can't hit off the easiest pitches in the world. You have 10 swings and they didn't – they got one home run out of 20 swings. It's just kind of crazy.
You gotta love that. You know, they get the easiest pitches in the world, and they can't, you know. But then they go up against, you know, the best pitchers in the world, Roger Clemens and so-and-so, and they knock out, you know, like 50 home runs a year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. So it was a final was between Bautista and Fielder. Fielder took it pretty easily. Just look at the All-Star game. Just what a blowout. 8-0 for the NL. Talk about the San Francisco Giants. What a fan. I mean, if you're a fan of them, you're happy right now. Not only did you just take the best lead in the NL West, but your three players that were in the NL All-Star game dominated. I mean, I was questionable on all three of those. Melky Cabrera, I'm like, really? Like, why is he in the game? Pablo Sandoval, I don't know how the hell he had a 6-week injury and he still managed to start in the All-Star game for third base. And then Matt Cain got the start. Matt Cain pitched for two innings, allowed one hit, and Pablo Sandoval hit a bases-clearing triple, and Melky Cabrera, who won the MVP, had a 2-run home run. So the Giants really showed up there, and 8-0, just a blowout. The pitchers, Verlander gave up 5 runs in the inning he pitched. Harrison came in the fourth, gave up 3 runs. The NL All-Stars, just good. Kershaw gave up 2 hits. Strasburg gave up 1 hit. Kane, like I said, 2 innings pitch, 1 hit. Just all-around great performance for them. So the NL will get the home field advantage in the World Series because of their All-Star win. And Tony La Russa got to manage his last game, being the manager of the NL All-Stars. And the Texas Rangers will then have to be on the road one more time. So sucks for them because they keep getting to the World Series and they keep having to be on the road because of the damn All-Star game. So we'll see what happens with that. Like I said, Melky Bragg, he got a brand new Camaro or something for being the MVP. Pretty sweet. And the standings right now, halfway through, it's a little more than halfway, but this is a halfway point. Yankees, and talk about the AL East, Yankees 52-33, 7-game lead on Baltimore, Tampa 7.5 games back, Boston 9.5, and Toronto 9.5 as well. All those teams are at 500 or better. The AL Central, the White Sox have a 3-game lead on Cleveland, Detroit 3.5 back, Kansas City 9.5, and Minnesota 11. In the AL West, Texas with a 4-game lead on the Angels, Oakland 9 back, Seattle 16.5 back. In the National League East, you have the Nationals, who are 49-34, 4 games up in Atlanta. The Mets 4.5 back, Miami Marlins 9 games, and the Phillies are 14 games back, 37-50. That's just not good. The NL Central, Pittsburgh, with a 48-37 record, have a 1-game lead on the Reds. St. Louis 2.5 back, Milwaukee 8, and let's just say the Cubs and the Astros are just pointless. They're 15 and 15.5 back, respectively. And I was actually wrong. The Dodgers have the best record in the NL West. Dodgers are 47-40, a 1/2-game lead on San Francisco. Arizona 4 games back, San Diego 13, and Colorado 13. And it's about time for me to bring out my predictions. You can question me if you'd like. My predictions for the champions. For the AL Central, I do believe that the White Sox will win. In the AL West, I believe the Rangers will prevail. And the AL East, I have to pick the Yankees. I hate them, but they are the best team, and they have a pretty good lead right now. And the NL, the Central, I think the Reds are going to win it over the Pirates. And the Cardinals are doing good, too, but the Reds have a pretty good team. Jay Bruce, Joey Votto, I like that team. In the West, the Dodgers should take that. They should get their guys back. Goes to show you their best two players are injured, and they're still leading that division, so I think they'll take it. And in the NL East, I do think the Nationals are going to win it. They're just playing too good. The only two teams that could take them are too far back right now, the Phillies and the Marlins. My awards, I think the MVP will be Josh Hamilton, Cy Young, R.A. Dickey for the Mets, and I think the Rookie of the Year will be Mark Trumbo for the Angels. So those are my predictions. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm thinking, you know, the Chicago in the Central, I don't know so much, you know, Cleveland or Detroit, they could come up and take that division.
It should.
The Yankees in the East, definitely. And your West, Texas, is definitely going to take it. Washington, if they truly stick to this rule about Strasburg, Atlanta can come back up, or the Mets. Atlanta or the Mets can come back up at the end of the season and take the National League East if Washington sticks to this rule about Strasburg and they don't pitch in the second half of the season. Now, in the Central, St. Louis, I don't see them staying 2.5 back. They're definitely going to come back up and take the Central. And in the West, the Dodgers are just a no-brainer at this point.
Yeah.
Ever since Magic bought them, It's a no-brainer right there.
Well, here's your wild card standings up to right now. Two teams going to the wild card for each league. Angels and the Orioles have the edge right now. Tampa a half game back. Cleveland one game back. Detroit game and a half. Boston and Oakland and Toronto are 2.5 back. In the NL, Cincinnati and Atlanta have the wild card. The Mets, the Giants, and the Cardinals are all half game back. The Arizona Diamondbacks are 4. The Miami Marlins are only 5 games back. Milwaukee 6. And the Phillies are 10. And everybody else is just useless. I say that because it's just the Cubs. I mean, I can't have a show in the last 3 years saying the Cubs are doing anything, or the Astros or the Padres. They all suck. Zen Man just hates those teams. I don't know what it is. But those are your up-to-date standings. Like I said, there will be 5 teams in the playoff. The 2 wild card teams, I don't care if they're 20 games apart, they will have 1 game to settle it, and the winner of that game will be the 4th seed in the playoffs. And just really quickly before I end the show, I just have to give you guys my up-to-date stat leaders. For average, this is all of baseball, Andrew McCutchen, 362 batting average. Melky Cabrera, 353, who won the MVP. David Wright, Melky Cabrera won the MVP at the All-Star game. David Wright, 351 for the Mets. Carlos Ruiz for Phillies, 350. And Joey Votto at 348. And checking out home runs, Jose Bautista, 27, also tied with Josh Hamilton. 27 as well. Adam Dunn, 25. Ryan Braun, 24. And there's your Encarnacion tie with Curtis Granderson for 23. And Big Poppy has 22. That was Mark Trumbo. And RBI leaders, Josh Hamilton, 75. Miguel Cabrera, 71. Jose Bautista, 65. Tie with Carlos Beltran. And Prince Fielder has 63. And those are your up-to-date leaders. Really quickly.
Now, Encarnacion has 23, and he just got traded.
Yeah.
And
no, he plays for Toronto, man.
Oh, they just re-signed him.
Re-signed him, yeah.
Yeah, they re-signed him for a big deal, which, you know, they should at the rate that he's playing at, you know.
He's playing good, man. For the ERA, Jared Weaver, 1.96. Brian Dempster, 1.99. It's random. That just goes to show you, being a starting pitcher for the Cubs, you're 1.99, you only have a 4-3 record. That's just retarded. Chris Sale from the White Sox, 2.19. Nice place for the White Sox, just a few miles away, I guess, and he's 10-2. Vogelsong for the Giants, 7-4, but the ERA is 2.36, and McDonald for Pittsburgh, 2.37. Your win leaders, R.A. Dickey, 12 wins. Also, Gio Gonzalez for the Nationals with 12 wins as well. Matt Harrison is, and Lance Lynn and David Price all have 11 as well. So those are your wins leaders. And how about we get to a last thing, the save leaders. I don't even know who's winning now. Johnson for the Orioles has 26. Craig Kimbrell for Atlanta. And Fernando Rodney both at 25. Fernando Rodney doing big things in Tampa. Perez for Cleveland with 24. And Hanrahan with 23 for the Pittsburgh Pirates. And that is your MLB update for the night. Any final thoughts? Over there, Hootie.
Oh, no, everything, you know, everything's just going the way it's going. Hopefully the end of the season is, you know. Oh, you know what? What I did want to ask you about is, what do you think about Ben Sheets? You know, he left the MLB 2 years ago to get elbow surgery after, you know, his stint with the Oakland Athletics. And now Atlanta Braves have brought him back, and he's about to start his first game on Sunday. against the Mets, and I thought that was pretty interesting. I mean, Ben Sheets was a phenomenal pitcher before, you know, before his injury, and now he's had the surgery, and it's taken him 2 years to come back. But now, you know, Atlanta picked him up. I mean, Atlanta was willing to risk on a person who just had an elbow surgery and has taken 2 years to recover. They were willing to pick him up and bring him back. What do you think about that?
I mean, he's played 12 seasons. You know, he hasn't had a fantastic career. He's been pretty steady. I think it's probably his best season was 08. He was, 07, 08 for Milwaukee. He went 12-5 and 13-9. In 2008, 3.09 ERA. Back in 04, he had a 2.7. I mean, he's consistent. He's definitely a guy that you would put in your roster just to be in the back of the lineup, back of the rotation. So he's a career 3.79 ERA. He came back last year. He didn't play in 11. 2012, he played a little double-A. So I think he'll be fine. Just throw him in there, put him in the back of the lineup, and, you know, he'll give you quality starts. You know, he's going to make everybody better probably. You know, you see other guys probably going in there maybe struggling a little bit. They'll look up the sheets, and, you know, I'm sure I'll give him some advice and go out and set an example. So, you know, that little stuff that some of the veterans can bring in, I think, can go a long way. So I think it's a good pickup.
Cool, and that was the only thing I had about baseball. And then, you know, what do you think about with Cole Hamill going on the free agency market? Do you think that the Phillies will be able to afford him after what they did, you know, in the last, you know, free agency market?
And they're not going to keep him. He's good. He's probably better than what I give him credit for, but he's like on the verge. I mean, I guess – is he an elite pitcher? I guess. I don't know. He wants elite pitcher money. I just don't think that the Phillies are going to put up the money for him.
They signed the biggest deal that they've ever signed with Cliff Lee for $24 million a year for 5 years, and they've never signed a deal for more than 5 years. The expectancy of the Cole Hamill deal is $127 million for 6 years. And that's larger than they've ever signed. And, I mean, really, would they be willing to sign him? Is he worth it? And
they're not going to sign. They're not going to re-sign him. If it is, it's not for the money that he wants. It'll be a lot less. But I don't know if he's going to get it. I don't think he's going to get the money he wants from anybody. I don't. I really don't believe it. I think he'll get a good contract offer from somebody.
The Phillies are not putting up runs to support him right now, so he doesn't look like a good pitcher. Even though he has a good ERA, the ERA is
bad. Other teams will look at him. I mean, they're not stupid. They realize that they haven't put up good numbers. And if they look at the ERA, that's the most important stat by far. And the whip, I mean, they understand that. So it's not like it's going to make them look bad or anything. They all know the ERA is the most important thing. I just don't think he's a good enough pitcher to where he's going to get a top max contract. Look at all the fuss with Drew Brees. I mean, he's the best quarterback in the league, possibly, and he's not even going to get – I mean, he won't even – what he's done for that organization, he's not going to get his max contract. I know it's baseball to football, but it's sports, and I just don't think – I don't think he's going to get the max deal. If it is, he'll get a good contract, but it's not going to be what he wants. He wants, like, 20 a year. He's not going to get it. He's going to get maybe 15 a year with, I don't know, the Red Sox or maybe the Phillies. I don't know.
I hope they keep
a surprise team like the Nationals. I mean, same division. We've seen players get traded in the division all the time. Maybe this might be a pickup to sit, you know, to kind of replace Strasburg. And who knows? We'll see. They probably got a pretty good. They probably got a lot of room to spin. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. We've run over our time here, so let's. I guess it's time for us to sign out here.
No worries. Any time after the hour isn't live, but when it replays, it's like it never happened.
Shh. All right.
All right, with that, I'm going to say thank you, Hootie, for joining me with another edition of Tillamo Sports Wrap. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to all my followers. I try my hardest to be here at 11 o'clock every Thursday night with the best knowledge I have and give you all my opinions. So continue listening, and I'll continue doing my thing. With that, I'm going to say thanks for listening again. Tune in to Ship Shore Radio. And the Sentinel Sports Wrap every Thursday night at 11 o'clock. Good luck to the USA Olympics and all USA players for America and everything else. So I guess good luck to everybody's teams out there, and I'll see you guys next week. Thanks, Hootie. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Tyler. Let's go.
Let's go.
You're listening to Ship to Shore Radio. Radio.
Terrific defense by Wade and a nice rebound by Bosch. Here comes Dwayne for the bomb. Rock City East strikes again.
You can see it coming all the way. LeBron was up ahead of him in the right lane.
Take a look around, tears from their eyes, knees on the ground, money in the sky. Take a look around, ain't shit nice, praying for my life, hope I make it through the night. Take a look around.
Hanley drives it to center field, that ball's deep. Back on Schaefer, at the wall.
Take a look around.
My goodness, an absolute bomb.
Take a look around.
Reggie Bush. With a big hole, hurtling it up under, and there he goes! And the dagger for the Miami Dolphins!
This is the Southernmost Sports Wrap, only at Ship to Shore Radio.